turn to Luke. That's where we'll be camping out tonight in the Bible. Let me get myself caught up here. Tonight, we're going to be talking based out of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. When I was saw the schedule that I was, as a fella that has gone through Gibbs, not graduated, get my GED, but gone through Gibbs, and we were, I don't know what when it was, but Pastor was going through 1 Corinthians 15, 3 or 4, and the term in that verse, according to the scriptures, is what piqued my interest. And I love history. So the question I had in my mind is, what would sitting, listening to the Apostle Paul teach out according to the scriptures? What would that sound like? And so this is what the topic I picked for this, the last message that I taught, and tonight is going to be part two. But to catch everybody up, we'll just skim through part one here. So, using 1 Corinthians 15, put up some background information that the Apostle Paul journeyed to Corinth on his second missionary trip. That's where it's located. There's some statistics about Corinth. There's a capital, there's a commercial center, there's the location of a Greek goddess temple, and popular Grecian games. They were known for their immorality, being immoral and drunks. And we looked at the Apostle Paul's message to these people. And we see that it was based in two parts. First, the first part is Paul reasoned and explained and demonstrated three things. That Christ, the Christ, had to suffer, die, and die for our sins. And we went through the Old Testament verses that showed that. Sorry. So what part one is, what we're looking at is, So we see that according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament, the Apostle Paul reasoned, explained, and demonstrated that the Christ, or the Messiah, had to suffer and die for our sins. This is spoken about in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We also saw that in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, the Messiah is referenced to, and the fact that also that not only did he have to suffer and die, but that he was going to be buried. Isaiah 53:9 says, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor there was deceit in his mouth," is one of the verses we went to. And then we also saw from the Old Testament that the Christ, or the Messiah, would rise again. Psalms 16:9-10, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, and you will always, will not, will, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And we looked at a bunch of verses out of the Old Testament. And we also mentioned that the Apostle Paul was not the only person that was preaching or teaching this way. He was proving out of the Old Testament that the Messiah had to suffer, had to die, and rise again. Philip and the Ethiopian is an example of this. Also Jesus Christ and the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He used the Old Testament to prove that the Messiah had to suffer, die, and rise again. Okay, now we're to part two. So now to today, we're going to see that Paul, in the second part of the message that Paul preached, was Paul reasoned, explained, and demonstrated from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ. And that is what we are going to do tonight. Acts 17, 1 through 3. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them with the Scriptures, explaining, demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, part two, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And how did Paul do this? We're going to look at many aspects of Jesus, how he lined up with the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, and prove beyond a point, I believe, that Jesus of Nazareth was and is, in fact, the Messiah. So why is this important? Why is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, Jesus asked his disciples a question. And I'll read it. When Jesus came into the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" Now let's insert ourselves into this conversation right here. And this is a question that Jesus asks every person. Who do you say that I am? This question has to be answered by every person before they die, because it determines the eternal destiny. According to the Scripture, Jesus Christ was the one and only unique God-man. He was the only perfect, sinless man that was the only one capable, and not only that, he was willing to pay the penalty for sin for you and me. The righteousness of God cannot stand sin, and the justice of God demands a penalty. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So that's easy. Don't sin. You don't have a problem. A lot easier said than done. 1 John 1:8 says, "For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." As I said before, there's only one person that was sinless, and that's Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:22 says, "Who committed no sin, nor deceit was found in his mouth." Christ was the only one that was capable of paying the penalty for sin for us, because he had none. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 John 2:2 says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." He made the satisfactory payment for our sins. And because of that, God can offer us eternal life in heaven. And this is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." A list of do's and don'ts does not earn you the gift of eternal life. Eternal life in heaven is a gift. You cannot earn it. It's received by faith. So
go back to the question that Jesus asked. So the question is did Jesus Christ, the Messiah, get the job done? And the fact that he got the job done is proven by the fact that he was resurrected 3 days later. So sin is no longer the question. It's now the question is what do you think about his son? Or who do you say that I am? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A verse we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can stand up here and tell you that I have eternal life. Not because I earned it, because by faith, through the grace of God, it was given to me as a gift. And I can say and read 1 John 5:11-13, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Back in Acts 16, Matthew 16, when Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So from there, we're going to look at what Paul taught out of the Old Testament to prove, reason, explain, and demonstrated that Jesus was the Christ. In the Old Testament, there are 40 plus messianic properties that were perfectly fulfilled in Christ, and we will look at some of them today. So let's get to it. The way we know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah was through his person and his divinity. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Another way of proving that Jesus was the predicted and Messiah of the Old Testament was his name. Isaiah 7:14 reads, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. This is fulfilled in Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus' humanity and the Messiah's humanity. Isaiah 7:14 again. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. For the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel. Hebrews 2:14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus is the son of David and the heir to the throne of David. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 9:7, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice, judgment and justice, from that time forward forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
If you want to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and 33 and follow along with me. This is where this was fulfilled. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Another aspect that proves that Jesus is the Messiah is his lineage. Genesis 49, 8 through 10. Judah, you are he among your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is the lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He boweth down. He lies down as the lion, and as the lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now this is fulfilled in Revelation 5:5. And what one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold the lion, speaking of Jesus Christ, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the scrolls, to loose its seven seals. Jesus' birth is another proof that he is the Messiah. From the Old Testament, we know where the Messiah was going to be born. Micah 5:2 says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. This is fulfilled in Matthew 2:5-6. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are you not least among the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And under his birth, the how he was of his birth. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. If you guys want to follow along as I read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, this is the account of Gabriel being sent to Mary. And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering the manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also the Holy One, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. So we see that Jesus, in his birth, proved that he was the Messiah, or is the Messiah. Not only that, events surrounding his birth were also predicted and talked about in the Old Testament. Hosea 11:1 states, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." This is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, 13 through 15. "Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son." The fact that Herod wanted to kill him, predicted also in the Old Testament. "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children, because they are no more." When Herod had all the children in the area under the 2 years old killed, this is what Jeremiah is talking about, and this was fulfilled. In Matthew 2:17 and 18. "And there was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Also we can see that his ministry also proved that Jesus is the Messiah. Isaiah 11:1-2. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counseling and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So this prediction about the Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, if you want to turn over to Luke 4. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding area, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" We can also see from the Old Testament that his ministry was to be a light unto the Gentiles. Isaiah 61:3. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Luke 2:25. This is fulfilled in Luke 2:25-32. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon,
In this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Then he came by the Spirit into the temple, where his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to what was the custom of the law. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. The Messiah's ministry and Jesus' ministry was as a Savior to all. This is me following, this prediction is found in Isaiah 49:6. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you shall be my salvation to the ends of the earth. There's three verses in the Gospels that in which this is fulfilled. Matthew 1:21 states, and he shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 19:9-10, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 1:29 states, and next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We also see the fact that the Messiah was to die for sins. Isaiah 53:4-6 talks about this, predicts this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see the New Testament reference that fulfills this. 1 Peter 2:24-25, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for the righteous, by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It is also predicted that Christ's ministry, or the Messiah's ministry, was to heal. Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we have been stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And we look at Matthew 8:16-17, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled by what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So far we have seen that the predicted Messiah was all these things, and they're all pretty positive in scope. And now we have to, unfortunately, the negative aspects of what the Messiah, Jesus Christ, had to go through were also predicted in the Old Testament. His ministry was to be rejected. Psalms 118:22 says, the stone which the builders
rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Matthew 21:42, and Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes." And it is marvelous in your eyes. Not only did he predict that he'd be rejected, but it was predicted that the Messiah would be crucified. Psalms 22:16-18 states, "For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lost." To me, this is the fact that this Old Testament prediction of the Messiah is going to be crucified. It's especially in light of the fact that in Israel, the death penalty was by stoning. Is pretty significant in my eyes. If you want to turn your Bible, or turn to Luke 23:33. I'll read Matthew 27:35. "Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Luke 23:33. "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left." John 19:20 states, "There were many of the Jews," read this title, "for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin." Not only was the fact that he's being was going to be crucified, Messiah is going to be crucified, there are specific events that were predicted about the Messiah in the Old Testament. Specific events, Jeremiah 32:6-9 predicts to the correct number how much money the Messiah was going to be betrayed for. In Matthew 27:10, we know that Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Specifically, it is also predicted in Isaiah 53:12 that he would be crucified with criminals. Isaiah 50:6 predicts that the Messiah would be scourged, which was fulfilled in Matthew 27:26. Isaiah 56, and I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Matthew 27:26. "Then he released Barabbas to them, and then when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered me crucified." We also see from Micah 5:1 that the Messiah was going to be mocked. "Now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek." Mark 15:19 tells us, "Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him." Another specific event that was foretold in the Old Testament with the Messiah is he was blasphemed. Psalms 22:7-8. All those who see me ridicule me. They shout out the lip and they shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him.
Let him deliver him since he delights in him. Matthew 27:39-44. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. We also see the Messiah. His death and burial was predicted. And they gave his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor there was deceit in his mouth. This is fulfilled in Matthew 27:57-60. Now when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Last and certainly not least, what we'll go over tonight, is his resurrection. The Messiah's resurrection was predicted in the Old Testament. Psalms 16:9-11. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of light. You're in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And let's just break with tradition here, and please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Matthew 28:2-8. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he has said, 'Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to his disciples." A while back, a couple of years ago, I can't remember which year, I was lucky enough to give a survey to a young lady. And she answered the questions pretty good. But she told me that Jesus Christ did not rise again from the grave. He was reincarnated. And she cannot get off that point. And as we can tell from these verses here, that is verse 6, "He is not here, he is risen." In verse 5, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." So we know it was Jesus. He is not here, he is risen. Right in the Bible it says he was not reincarnated, he rose again. The resurrected Jesus was seen by many people, not only the ladies that were seeking him, his disciples, and up to 500 other people at a single time, but also the apostle Paul was a witness to witness the resurrected Christ. As he states in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I deliver to you first that all that I which I also receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then the twelve, and after he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as one who is born out of due time." Acts chapter 9 recounts how Saul, before he became Paul, was going to Damascus to persecute the believers there, the Christians. And the Lord intercepted and asked him, verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do.'" Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 27, Apostle Paul goes back to Jerusalem, and he's preaching the gospel. And he wanted to meet the apostles, but they were afraid of him. 26 says, verse 26, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So to come full circle, we started this series in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. "For I deliver to you first all that I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And we saw from Acts 17, 3, verses 2 and 3, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, 'This Jesus whom I preached to you is the Christ.'" So in conclusion, I hope you can see that the gospel we preach today, even though we use New Testament verses all the time, the gospel we preach is in the Old Testament. In fact, the Apostle Paul using the Old Testament, and we use the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to give the gospel, which I find kind of funny in a good way. So we have seen that the Apostle Paul, when he preached, he had two major points. The first one was that the Christ, or the Messiah, had to suffer, die, and rise again. And he proved this, explained it, and demonstrated from the Old Testament. And part two of his message was that Jesus is the Christ, also explained, reasoned, and demonstrated from the Old Testament. All according to the Scriptures. This study for me has been very, very encouraging. Not only, just the fact that the gospel can be found in the Old Testament, the predictions made about the Messiah, and the fact that they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ to the letter,
speaks to the faithfulness of God, the trustworthiness of our God, and what He says He will do. And also proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the scriptures, the writings of the Old Testament, where we can, though they may not be written, all of them may not be written to us, we can look into them and see Your faithfulness. We can see the predictions about the Messiah, the predicted Messiah, and we can see lining those up with the New Testament, how Jesus Christ fulfilled every single one of those. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there any questions?